Professor Terry Wilkins, CEO of Manufacturing Institute in Leeds. Quite an extensive and distinguished bio here for you to peruse. The life is
on all of the others.
Thank you very much.
That's my able assistant is doing now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, I can now say this, Lords, ladies and gentlemen, for inviting me this afternoon. I'm actually going to change tack a little bit, talk about nanomedicine. This is a new area for nanotechnology, very rapidly developing perhaps faster than a lot of us thought would happen 5 years ago. It produces its own special risks and responsibilities, but also the fundamental nature of the research leads you to some potential ways and means of investigating health issues. Okay, what is nanomedicine? I'm going to illustrate that by some up-to-the-minute examples of UK-based research, and that will take us into some applications in oncology. I have a part-time role in the European Commission, which you'll see from my biog, which has been part of the Commission's group for developing the technology strategy for Framework 7, and that includes the health, safety, and environmental risk aspects, and then leave you with some message about opportunities for the UK. This is work from our own university in in vitro clinical diagnostics. My colleagues, Giles Davis and Edmund Linfield, both European Research Council and VAR Advanced Investigator Award holders. These are tiny little nanoelectrodes with engineered proteins on them. I don't know if you're on the left-hand side, with a variable unit, we can engineer the variable unit which will bind to specific biomarkers in blood or biological fluids. It means using a sort of approach very similar to a microchip fabrication plant. We can fabricate large numbers of very different sensors cheaply, and then you can profile large numbers of biomarkers in blood or body fluids. This is work done by some friends of ours from King's College London, Andy Miller and Maya Tano, with some help from us in scale-up and targeting. This is a new concept, theranostic nanoparticles. This example here of Andy and Maya's is a four-layer particle. The first layer is, first in the core, they're short interfering RNA, which is a new type of drug which gives high performance, less toxic materials and gives better therapeutic outcomes if designed right. Second layer, the B layer, is a lipid component to protect against short-term degradation as it's doing its work. The third layer is a stealth layer to make sure that it gets to the targeted cells without being attacked by the immune system or causing inflammatory problems on the root. Last layer is targeting ligands, and that's an area where our interest is paramount. But the beauty of these things is you can put the drug and more than one imaging agent in there, and there are examples of MRI and fluorescent imaging down there, and you introduce these things intravenously into patients and put them in an MRI scanner, find where they go. If the drug and the scanning agent are there together, you can fire focused ultrasound towards the tumour. That disrupts the capsule, and you can follow the drug going into the tumour and hope that the drug is going the same way. So that's quite a sophisticated device. This is recent work in my own university by my colleagues, Professors Anne Neville and David Jane. Anne is also another European Research Council Advanced Investigator Award winner. We have two uses of nanoparticles here. One is biodegradable iron nanoparticles, super paramagnetic ones, for magnetising the tissue. So when you go in with a laparoscope, you can hold and grip the tissue without damaging and crushing it. On the right-hand side, this is work that's ongoing right now, and that's having fluorescent markers. So once you're inside, you can switch from optical cavity light to fluorescent light and get the exact location of the tumour, because things slip and slide around inside the cavity once you've opened the patients up. This is our overall rationalised strategy. So we're looking for better diagnosis, better treatment, whether it's by surgery or by drugs, and you can use those same biochips for in vitro diagnostics for identifying new biomarkers both for targeting the nanoparticle and as routes to getting new non-classical drugs. So that's what nanomedicine is and feels like, and that's all UK research. Within Europe, there is an organisation called the European Nanotechnology Platform for Nanomedicine, and on the left are the kind of tools and techniques that it's focusing on, and the disease areas of priorities. There's 150 organisations, healthcare companies, universities, RTOs, hospitals. It's currently led by GE Healthcare, which has a strong presence here in the UK. It has its own roadmap on the right-hand side there. And it's one of 36 European technology platforms that feed their views on where nanotechnology should be, where the money should be spent on nanotechnology translational research. They come into the NMP directorate. I chair the expert advisory group that works with the Commission to develop the strategic plan, develop the initial plan, the mid-term review, and we're now actually working on preparing for Framework 8. Our mid-term review was published at the end of November, and there's quite a lot in there about nanomedicine. But you'll see the overall budget is quite high. That goes forward to the programme committee, which meets regularly every year and develops the annual implementation plan. And that's drawn, that committee is drawn from two members from each member state. Interestingly enough, our committee in Framework 6, 2002 to 2006, identified the challenges and risks of nanotechnology, and we articulated that large amounts of money should be spent on risk research by the Commission in Framework 7, the current framework. At the last count, I think we've deployed something like 100 million euros in that kind of research to back up what we're doing here. So that the annual programme of work looks like that. In nanomedicine, currently in the first 5 years of Framework 7, 2 years to go, 260 million euros have been spent. Around half of that is on those theranostic nanoparticles I described earlier. There's another 100 million on regenerative medicine, another 30 on bio-enabling platforms. The little bit at the end, 2.7 million, is on a network, but also legal, sociological, socio-economic aspects and risk management. So, okay, an awful lot of publications in this field in the last few years, nearly 2,000 publications. No surprises, drug delivery and cancer are quite high. And we see cardiovascular numbers coming along. How ready is nanotechnology for oncology applications? Well, as a poor nurse, back in 2004 with my colleague, clinical colleague, Peter Selby, they were working in ICRF at that time, did a review of nanotechnology and judged it wasn't mature enough to be useful in cancer research. Last year, Sir Paul wrote to us to say he thinks it's now ready for significant advances in research and clinical practice. So I will finish there. Nanomedicine has made huge progress in the last 5 years. Benefits for the patient, real benefits for the patients, healthcare providers and pharma, including the pharma pipeline issue and jobs. The nanomedicine ETP and the Commission have been strategic in bringing this about. UK science is very strong. It's built on £16 million worth of EPSRC grants issued in 2008. The Research Council is now evaluating those to see where it should go next. And we're in a position where we could take a leading role in Europe, supported by the Royal Society and Royal Academy of Engineering. We've got good pharma companies. GE's leadership is quite useful, and we in Leeds have Europe's largest teaching hospital. So we're advising, really, that we should review our strategy, move perhaps towards platform grants, and to integrate our research base, and perhaps have some strategy to engage more with the EU in terms of bigger research programmes. And frankly, that's where the bulk of the research money is, in nano-risk management and risk assessment and hazard assessment. So, and that's all feeding back into what we're doing. We're hoping by designing safe nanoparticles, we have some insight, in fact, into what makes industrial nanoparticles risky. So I'll shut up. If there's time for questions, please fire away.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's the most economical use of time, somebody who's used to dealing with small things.